Donald, we were talking about if people can conjure up things with magic, with witchcraft, and you were talking about a couple things that you wanted to get into.
Yes, I wanted to define two terms, because often they're incorrectly used interchangeably. And those two terms are invocation and evocation. Invocation means to bring something into you. And the process of invocation is very similar to what many people have talked about on your show, and the idea of spirit mediumship. However, it's done under certain ritual formulas. Now, in witchcraft, primarily there is a belief that the ultimate divinity, God, if you want to call it that way, is manifests to the world in two forms, as a goddess and as a god. And in many witchcraft rituals, what they will do is invoke the goddess or the god into one of the people in the ritual, who then will give oracular pronouncements, grant blessings to the people, and give information to them. In some instances, some more shamanic-oriented witchcraft groups will have people who will invoke the powers of certain animals. By that I mean they might invoke an owl for wisdom, or perhaps the wolf for strength and speed. So really in Wicca and witchcraft, the idea is much more to do a lot of invoking more than evoking. Evocation is to bring something out so that you can see it. Now, this is much more in the field of high magic, and I do describe the process and everything that's needed to do it in my book. Now, a lot of people think, because of the movies and novels and comic books, that there's going to be a puff of smoke and some genie with the turban, with the crossed arms, is going to appear. But that's not how it works. What happens is the magician uses a special type of mirror called a magic mirror. And this magic mirror is unusual because instead of being silvered, it's black. That is, it's completely black.
And how does that work, Donald?
Well, what happens is you have what's called the triangle of the heart, which is a large triangle of wood. And in the center of that, you have this circular mirror, which is black. And you have one person who is called the seer, while another person, the magician, actually does the evocation, the calling forth of the spirit. Now, the idea is that these spirits are here anyway. They're all around us, but they're in the astral plane, so we do not normally see them. And what happens is, as the magician reads all of these complex spells, calling various spirits and protecting himself or herself with various names of God, it has an effect on the consciousness of the seer. So the seer can actually look into the mirror and see something begin to appear. It may be a shape. It may be a face. And there are many books, very traditional books, with names such as The Key of Solomon or The Goetia. And these are books which have information on various spirits and what they look like, how to call them, and what they do. So witches are much more inclined to call things into themselves, whereas the high magicians are much more inclined to call spirits so they can communicate with them, with the spirits being outside of them, and get information. Now, another thing that high magicians will sometimes call or create are what's called an artificial elemental. Elementals are beings that are completely composed of one element. And by that, I don't mean something like oxygen or helium, but rather they're composed of the traditional elements, which are air, earth, fire, or water. So you can have a water spirit known as an undine, and you can call on that spirit. Now, water is associated with the ideas of changeability, easy changeability, like the surface of a lake or a river. someone to gradually change things or to improve your emotions. Water is associated with the emotions. You might evoke, that is, call up and create, according to certain techniques, an artificial water elemental. And then you can either send that elemental to yourself or to another person who needs it, and they can then get calmness. They can then get an emotional change or an emotional improvement so that their lives can be improved.
Some of these spells, magical spells, though, Donald, that have been handed down over the years, over the eons, basically, have they been tried and tested?
Some of them have. And regrettably, some of them have not. I have been involved in occultism and magic and spirituality for a very long time. I have a personal library of about 5,000 books and volumes. And I'm not trying to brag about that, but what I'm saying is, beside doing work, I've also studied the topic a great deal. And in many cases, well, in some cases, I can read a book and say, this person has invented that whole hog. So in some traditional books, yes, they have been tested. In other books, they have not. Now, in the ones that they have been tested, though, especially the ancient ones, here's the thing about it. Magic is both an art and a science. Now, according to the rules of science, and in fact it was the alchemists who were forms of magicians from the Middle Ages who created what we today call the scientific method. One of the rules of the scientific method is that if you repeat an experiment under the same conditions, you should get the same result. If you don't, then something is wrong. So what happens is that somebody, let's say 1,000 years ago, does a magical experiment, a ritual, and gets a result. And he or she repeats it and gets the same result and writes it down. But the thing is, one of the aspects of magic, which a lot of people don't realize, are the emotions. The emotions change with the weather. They change with the moon cycle of the year. So it could, and also they are dependent upon the way you grow up and the society that you're in. So what was effective for somebody, let's say 1,000 years ago, may need to be changed in wording or in the exact focus to work today. So to my mind, there are some magicians who simply try and repeat what was done before. There are a lot of people who try and repeat, for example, exactly what Crowley did. And I would say people who only repeat what people did before are doing hero worship. It's not magic. It's when you understand what's going on and can change it and make it work for you, that's when you become a magician.